The Rice to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. And brought to you by Mortgage CS. Become a Mortgage CS Ricky VIP by going to MortgageCS.com/Ricky. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours at BigBarker.com/Ricky. And Stateside Urban Craft Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe. Subscribe at RightsToRickySanchez.com. On the show today, the Sixers lose back-to-back games to the Brooklyn Nets and the Memphis Grizzlies. I repeat, the Sixers lose back-to-back games to the Brooklyn Nets and the Memphis Grizzlies. Tyrese Maxey has a concussion. D'Anthony Melton may never play again. At least Robert Covington will be reevaluated in a week. So I did mention Stateside Urban Craft Vodka. If you would like to have a good time watching the current Sixers rather than the time that you've been having, what better way to do it than to drink a Surfside iced tea and vodka? It takes the edge off. Hell, have two. If you're not driving, have three. Hey, look at that Surfside hoodie from Mike. Great gear.
I'm all ad today.
Great branding from Surfside and a great product. Surfside is so popular because it is so good. It's very simple. It's the best one. Iced tea and vodka, perfect amount of sweetness, 100 calories, all different flavors. The peach tea and vodka, the iced tea and vodka, the lemonade, iced tea and vodka, the lemonade and vodka. It's good shit, man. Get some. Go to statesidevodka.com. You got to be 21 to get it. And the brand new names on the back shirt, they are going to print this week. So get yourself one from Scheib Vintage Sports and shop for other stuff while you're there. Shipping's only $3.99. Free shipping over $65. We will put the link in the description to this pod. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Gwynedd Mercy University's own Mike Levin.
I got the hat.
There it is.
I got a shirt.
There it is.
My parents got a hat and a shirt.
Yep.
So we're the official East Coast school of the process. Locked in. Bad Sixers game. Bad.
Two bad Sixers games.
Frustrating. Maxey with a delayed concussion. You know, yep. One of those.
Yep.
And without Embiid, without Maxey, and without another half dozen role players that should be here, they're just not good enough. An absolutely atrocious Tobias Harris game.
Maybe the
game
worst.
He should have dominated. It's Memphis. They're absolutely depleted. How do you have 3 points and one assist in the first half? Like, do something. It just... He looks so slow getting his shots up. Memphis is already in his space. Like, he usually does that can work was working.
By the
way,
in
addition to making horrendous decisions in transition.
The worst.
Such bad transition decisions. Like, what an embarrassment some of those things were. And him and Oubre step on the sideline at least like twice a game.
Looks like mentally broken or something. Like, he looks worse than he's ever looked, I think. Like, the decisions in transition are so bad, and you can see them coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
By the way, the off-ball decisions on defense are worse than they've ever been.
Bro. Like.
Worse than they've ever been.
It's fucking Memphis. Their whole team is hurt. You don't have to double.
Nope.
You do not have to double. The stop giving up no dribble, wide open threes.
No. Miracle.
Oh, sorry. Wrong one.
You're just pressing a button and guessing.
Nah, I was trying to do the fucking, the help defense song.
I know.
I fucked it up. I used the wrong one.
But like run them off the line and slide your feet. They're showing too much help to fucking anybody. And it just immediately starts them in transition and they're not connected and they're not quick enough. And it's just, you're taking a team that cannot score, that is begging you to give them open shit because they can't generate it otherwise. You know what I'm totally cool with? 30 Jaren Jackson post-ups on B-Ball Paul.
Let him do it. Let him do it.
I don't want is guys who are not like really NBA players stepping into wide open threes. And that's what happened over and over again. Luke Kennard, who is an NBA player, like shouldn't be getting wide open threes in this matchup. Honestly, there's just so many wide open threes. And then they have to close out harder because they're coming from behind. And then it's an easy like drive to the rim because there's no centers back there. They got to the line too many times. Some fouls were bullshit, but whatever. You can't give up 37 points in a quarter to this Memphis team, which they did in the first quarter.
Dude, the first 5 minutes of the game, like every three-pointer was wide open.
It's so embarrassing. This cannot be the solution. It is harder to hit threes when you're moving. But if you're standing still and you have all the time in the world off the catch, NBA players are pretty good at that. And the idea that like, man, there was one possession. God, it was so fucking embarrassing where he's just, they send help to Jaren in the post on B-ball. Now, Paul eventually got into some foul trouble, but like I thought he did a really solid job on Jaren defensively, which is why it was always crazy why they send help to just gift Memphis an advantage. He stoned him at the rim a couple times. It truly drives me crazy when they double worthless players in the post. The way we feel when other teams double Tobias, which is like, thank you. That's what they're thinking. How do you not feel that? How the fuck do you not fucking feel that? And it's just so embarrassing that like, yeah, you're shorthanded, but the decision-making, the consciousness, the ethos of this team of going like, hey, it's Memphis. We're not sending help. We're going to dare them to beat us one-on-one. We're going to dare Jaren Jackson to take 30 shots. He took 25, so he could have taken more. And beat us with like post moves and handles. And he shot 40% from the field. He's a fine player. He has turned himself into a pretty good offensive player as without Ja this year. He has gotten better on that end, but that's not sustainable offense. What sustainable offense is like making the defense move a ton because they've gifted you an advantage. And I just really hate the coaching decision making to have that, whether it's coaching or players or whatever the fuck, like it's so embarrassing that 37 points in the first quarter, 34 in the fourth, they tightened up. Buddy had some really bad moments earlier in the game and then started playing better defensively. But like guys, lock in, defend your position. Say, we're going to defend straight up. We're going to dare them. We're not going to allow for like fluid ball movement and like exploiting rotations when we're so shorthanded and many of our best defenders aren't there. It just seems like we're like, well, this is what you're supposed to do. And NBA teams send help and show bodies and show hands. And so we're going to do it. But how many times does that have to happen when you do that and then they hit a three in your face? It shouldn't be that way. And they got out physical. You can't get out tough on the glass by fucking Jake LaRavia.
By the way, constantly, like the entire, and God bless Paul Reed, but he got rebounds torn away from him.
Yeah.
He can't. Yeah. You can't. I'm sorry. The three-pointer's cute. The step-back jumper's cute. The up-and-under layup is cute. All that is cute. But you can't wind up with like 17 points on 17 shots and get your ass beat on rebound after rebound after rebound. Can't. Can't. I don't care.
I think Paul is not the problem. He had a bunch of nice plays. He eventually started having to play a little bit softer because of the fouls.
Everybody's the problem. If you're going to be down Embiid, somebody in the front court has to fight for rebounds, and it's not going to be Tobias Harris, and it's probably not going to be Nick Batum. It has to be Paul Reed, right?
Yeah, I'm
not
saying he's good at those tap backs, but he's not going up for like a tough physical rebound very much.
You can't get rebounds. By the way, that's partly why Mo Bamba can't play is because he gets rebounds ripped from him. So Tobias Harris, defensively aside, offensively, It was awful. It was embarrassing. This is supposed to be the one fucking thing that you're good at. And to melt down, honestly, like from a whole team perspective, to melt down two games in a row. I know you're down three starters. I know. But
so are those teams.
Yes, right. Memphis is down like their whole fucking team. You know, Brooklyn lost Cam Johnson in the game too. Like they lost everybody. You cannot melt down versus both of those teams in consecutive games when your best player is not going to play for another several weeks and you're doing whatever you can to keep your head above water. By the way, these two games, and I didn't think they were going to win both of them because just gut wise, but these two games were supposed to be, these were on our list of they should win.
If you won Brooklyn and lost Memphis on a second half of a back-to-back, whatever. Can't lose both of these games. You just can't. No. Nope. And to play as bad as you did in the fourth quarter of this game to melt down again is really inexcusable for top to bottom. Obviously Tobias is going to bear the brunt because he had 8 points on 3 of 12 shooting. He had I honestly take it personally that he had zero fouls. It bothers me to my core that he was so not engaged on that end. He was so slow to things. He was so just hesitant and just walking through the motions. He was in a walkthrough. These are going to be the plays. This is where you're fucking just mimicking what defense would look like if you were actually trying. Made some zero personal fouls. They credit him with one turnover. Someone is being very generous at the statistician's office, but zero fouls. He played the most minutes of any guy on the team. 35, 8 points on 3 of 12.
Maybe just Alex Rucker
can't happen, dude. And you need a socket wrench to get to fucking flip his hips defensively so he can slide his feet. Just embarrassing, man.
Made several business decisions on loose balls as well. By the way,
so many.
There was one with 3 minutes left. The ball was right in. I was just.
So much. You just can't go up 12 on a bad team at home after you lost last night when you're shorthanded. You just got to go we're gonna win this game. We're gonna make enough plays to win this game, and they just they didn't. You know, Buddy is having a really tough time finishing, and you really feel the lack of athleticism around the rim.
Yeah, he looks like he can't dunk.
He could dunk if you give him runway. He had a nice lob to Oubre from pretty far away, which I liked. He had a big deep three to cut it to two, which was nice. He's still 3 of 7 from deep. That's the stuff that's going to matter, that he's willing to do it and he's successful at it. But man, he had a couple, the first two games, he had a couple really nice finishes with his left, and it made him go well, this is what I do. I can finish with my left all the time. And man, he missed a lot. There was one move where it was pretty slick where he kind of scooted around defenders and rose up at the rim and then was just drawing dead because he was midair and he had nowhere to go with it. I like that at least Nick is willing to pull him at times, especially for defense when he's not there. But man, I mean, they're missing the Melton bad news is bad. It sucks.
Yeah. So as a recap, Maxey had late concussion symptoms. So he is out for, TBD. They said it is a mild concussion, but and honestly, as Sixers as it is, for him to not get diagnosed there was not even their doctors. And this can happen with concussions, but when you have to leave the game for a while after you get hit really hard in the back of the head and you're writhing around on the ground, chances are you have a concussion. So Maxey is back TBD. De'Anthony Melton seems to have definitely gone backwards. They're not really doing anything. They're reevaluating him in 2 weeks. It's a back problem, which is bad. And then Robert Covington seems to be progressing and has some on-court work in 7 to 10 days. But the Anthony Melton stuff is bad because...
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's partly why... That's maybe partly why they go, okay, we're going to need another option there. And they go get Jeff Doughton, who I thought looked great. I thought Jeff Down was awesome. I was really impressed by his poise. The fact that he was comfortable enough to run the offense, make a full court outlet pass to Ricky. He slid his feet really well on Vince Williams and forced a steal in a fast break run out. It's clear that Nick Nurse trusts him after working with him in Toronto a bit. He had a nice drive and a balanced Euro finish with his left. Just competence. The reason he's not, if he was 4 inches taller, 5 inches taller, he's 6'3".
He looks very slight.
He's very slight and, and doesn't have a wide frame, so it's hard to add muscle in there. But if he was like 6'7", he'd be like one of the Martin twins, and he'd be like on an NBA roster, and he'd be good. But with this guy's at this size, it's tough. But I thought he was just extremely capable. He attacked a closeout, found B-ball in the dunker spot. He was 2 of 4 from deep. He has a slow release, but he settles into it if they give him time. I liked him at Rhode Island, but he played with a guy named Fats Russell at Rhode Island, who was a small point guard who I just was enamored by. Not an NBA prospect, but that's cool awesome. To watch. And I think he also played with Tyrese Martin, who has had a cup of coffee in the NBA, who transferred to UConn eventually. And I liked him more. And so Dalton is just really just like competent and capable, and he gave them really good minutes. He was a plus 17 in 24 minutes. He had 10 points on 7 shots, a bunch of assists, like steals. Like, he just played really well. And I think it's like, it could be Melton insurance. They could just go like this, you know, we don't trust, you know, Lowry didn't play tonight. He's working his way back. Campaign had a couple nice moves. I like that he pulls up well from beyond the line, and he does have some like sauce on drives, a couple ball fakes, some like long strides with scoop finishes. That's nice to see, but he's just so small that he cannot compete defensively. It felt like in the first half, it just felt like someone always had him in jail in the post. It was just him just like flailing underneath like a big brother in like the deep end of the pool. And it's tough. Like, they were shorthanded tonight. Like, there's excuses, but so many guys played bad. And it really is like, what, you just can't, Tobias just like cannot be this bad. He cannot be this bad. A couple of good games. Yeah, a couple good moments.
But to have
this game in this moment when it's just like, dude, Maxie is out.
Go we score just 36, need you
to
man.
Just like be competent. Go score get to 36. The line. Get to your spots. Force a double team. Swing the ball. And to have 3 points and one assist in the first half, first quarter, or first, it's the first half. I looked at it after the first half. Is so deeply pathetic. And I wanted them to bench him at a certain point, but like, they just didn't have anybody else to really go to, and they were already going small, and then KJ fouled out and B-ball fouled out. They were in foul trouble. Mo Bamba is just helpless on a contested ball, man. In that Brooklyn game, he got stuffed by Nick Claxton in such an embarrassing way. Yeah. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. The way that he plays sometimes, it's like he plays as if he's ashamed of being as tall as he is.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, Mike, you know I'm not a tournament guy. I'm not a college basketball guy. I'm looking at the DraftKings Sportsbook tournament odds. Tell me if any of these are good value.
Okay. I love value in the tournament time.
Well, I literally had, like, I'm looking at these list of teams, and I didn't know any of these teams were good. So UConn at plus 500.
Yeah, they won last year.
Yeah, good value.
I mean,
favorites?
Yeah, they're the favorites. I don't like to bet the favorites until I see. I'll take a flyer on teams that I think could glow up, and I think they're undervalued there. I'm not going to go a number one guy, like Got a number it. One or two seed until I see the region, you know?
So how about Duke at plus 2,200?
Yeah, could be a Duke year. It really could. They have good guard play. Kyle Filipowski up front. Athletes in length. It could be a Duke year.
Gonzaga plus 7,500.
Gonzaga's interesting. They're thin, but they don't go that deep, and they don't have like a premier player, but they are just good, and they are like competent. They have two good guards. Anton Watson's been there forever. Graham Ike is really solid and has popped lately. Like, they're interesting. Gonzaga is someone that I would recommend a flyer on.
What do you think about the after?
I like a Final Four bet. Not a win at all bet, because it's like,
here we go.
Win at all bets are so tough because you really, but the Final Four, you can get a bunch of little fires going.
I just saw St. John's won 4 in a row after Patino's little like temper tantrum a couple of weeks ago. They're plus 4,000 to make the Final Four. Anyway, get in on the action. Those are odds, all courtesy, obviously, of DraftKings Sportsbook, our presenting sponsor, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers who deposit $5 can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in a bonus bet. And if you use code RTRS when you watch the Sixers, artificial intelligence will remove Tobias Harris from your screen. if you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code RTRS. Download the app now. Use code RTRS. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 if your first bet loses. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code RTRS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21. See show notes for details. Mike, one thing I've been noticing with it hit me in the Nets game that without Maxi and Embiid, I don't even feel like there's so many new guys between beginning of this year and even like recently trade mm-hmm. deadline that I don't even feel like I'm watching the Sixers. I don't even know who I'm like. The starters are Campaign, Kyle Lowry, Mo Bamba. Like, what the fuck is going, like, who are they? Yeah. I do feel a bit of a current disconnect, which is why it's so easy to get emotional about Tobias, because at least I know him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't even know what to be mad at with anybody. Like, it's a real weird time watching this game. I'm sure it will feel better when everybody's back, even when Maxie's back. Currently, it is a bit of a, not just a drag, but it's like kind of boring and weird watching them currently.
Yeah, they just needed to win this game. They just really, really needed to win this game. And it's bleak that they didn't. I mean, I thought,
especially after losing to Brooklyn.
Yeah, I thought Oubre played really great in Brooklyn. Another 4-assist game, getting dangerously close.
Well,
and you're teasing me away. He's had 5. I think he's had 5 4-assist games this
but
year.
But you said 5 assists. Well, so that's 20% lower.
I said 5 assist games. So that's 25 assists. So if he has 6 4-assist games, that is basically there.
It's still lower.
Basically there. All right, 6 4 assist game and 1 5 assist game.
Yeah. Do you think if you had 2 guns to your head,
okay,
one on each side, both loaded, and the guns were held by lunatics,
great,
and they were like, you have to tell me whether Kelly Oubre will get 1 5 assist game this season, and if you're wrong, we're pulling the trigger, what would your bet be? He just has to get one.
I'm going to say yes. I'm doing it. Take the safety off, babe. Let's go.
Brain splattered all over the wall.
Because there's nothing that I would feel worse about than dying when he does get a 5-assist game.
Yes.
What a awful feeling that would be. He just has to keep going north-south. And like,
yeah, as long as he does that, he's been better.
I love the AU article about him. The AU article about him going at the rim. He's going to get to the fucking rim. He drives. He started turning the ball over a little bit. Like, look, Kelly Oubre should not be playing 34 minutes and like being the engine of an offense in this kind of game. He is overtaxed. His strengths diminish and his weaknesses become more pronounced. He turned the ball over too many times, all that stuff. But he's going to have another fucking crazy dunk in traffic. He had the last two games, he had a couple great ones. And he can still get to the rim and just get downhill, turbo button, and just don't fade or lean away, because you start shooting way worse when he starts fading. If he's just propelling himself forward, then it's a great option on a team when doesn't have to be like the first option. At the end, you know, they're down, what were they down 4 at that moment, or 4 or 5 maybe?
When?
When he drives and gets blocked by Santi Aldama.
I think it was 4. I think they were down 4 because they were down 2 and they fouled or something.
Yeah, that's right. It was 4. And so it's like in that moment, you draw the big, you got to swing that out for a 3. You can't be going up for like a soft layup for a guy that
potentially is the 5th assist.
The most dunks on the team. Like, I love it and respect it. And he's getting a little bit bumped on that, but you're down. You can't be going up for a contested layup at the rim down 4 with like 25 seconds left. Like, you got to swing that out to a 3 and at least see if you can cut it to a 1-point game. And getting blocked is pretty inexcusable. If you're going to go up, you better go up strong and at least get fouled. And he just got cleanly blocked, which is the right call.
Pretty wild stat here. So Oubre shot 42% from 3 in November, 36% in December. And I agree with all this, not shitting on him, honestly. Like, the last two games been very good. Uh-huh. Coming off the bench is his role. And like, it's when he starts like cooking in the mid range that you're like, nope. But then January shot 27% from 3, February 23% from 3, so far in March 25% from 3. Like, hopefully that normalizes a little bit. He's like a 34%, 35% 3-point shooter, right?
I almost don't count anybody's. The fact that Buddy has been still pretty good from 3, even without the sun like that he can be a planet around in Joel, and especially without Maxey. Like, I expect Buddy in games that Joel plays, and I'm borderline, you know, I think he's going to play, everything's fine, but like after losing two games in a row, you start to feel like against these, this competition, you start to feel like, man, are you holding a balloon for a party that's never going to come? I expect that with Joel, Buddy's going to shoot over 50% from three. That is my prediction. I think it's going to work really, really well. But without him and without Maxey, they're just a collection of guys. And they had some fun moments. I really love the Batum had a gorgeous cross court bounce pass to a cutting Buddy. It looked like a set play. I like that from the coaching staff. Batum had a putback dunk with one hand that I liked. I was loving getting his hands in there. He had a really nice block with like his surprising closeout quickness. I like some of the stuff that KJ Martin did tonight. Some weak calls. He shouldn't have fouled out. I hate, anything. But a tough rookie game. It's just like somebody has to be the adult, and that somebody in this situation is Tobias. And to get punked and pushed around by Vince Williams, who I do like, Jake LaRavia, who I also kind of like, he had a nice game, and Santi Aldama, like, they don't have a point guard. Like, they're starting Vince Williams at point guard. You cannot let that happen. You cannot let them have as many paint touches as they had. And it's just, it's weak, like, one-on-one defense. It is bad coaching to give them an easy one outlet strong side pass for an open three off the catch by guys who can hit those. And like Tobias, like, what if you're not going to do this, what are you going to do? And the bad games hurt worse than the good games feel good.
It's going to read.
And it's just, you can't play this bad. You just can't play this bad. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, plan happening.
Can I ask you, can we pivot from this game?
Because sure.
Is it even possible? It feels almost impossible.
Sure. They're right now in the play-in. They're tied with Miami for six. So because of record, they're going to go to the play-in right now.
And by the way, they're not even that far out of fourth, but like, what are they? Probably two games out of fourth.
Four through eight is separated by a game and a half. And Sixers are right now at seven.
You mentioned AU's article. By the way, you can go to the rightsrickysanchez.com, hit subscribe, and you get all of the articles emailed to you. So Mike O'Connor, who has a new one coming out on Friday, Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe comes out on Thursday. AU's came out today. The Danny comes out. So you'll get all of them emailed to you, so you don't have to worry about checking social. And we started to add narration. So AU read his article, so you can just listen to it rather than reading it. I hate reading, would much rather listen. So do that.
I'm writing the newsletter tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm halfway done.
There you go.
The loss tonight might make the tenor of that change a little bit.
Yeah. So Sixers Adam mentioned something he was writing. Actually, I saw it in the tweet, and then I didn't see very much of it in the article, but I thought it was an interesting question. And we had talked about it briefly when they signed him. Kyle Lowry has been good, like legitimately good.
Have loved.
He seems like a very good complement to Maxey, allowing Maxey to sort of stretch his wings a little bit as a scorer without, you know, Kyle Lowry is a point guard straight up. Like, has a lot of those skills, smart player, blah, blah, blah. Would you consider starting lineup when everybody's healthy, starting Lowry in the backcourt with Maxey?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to monitor Melton's minutes. I think I love it based on matchup. I really have loved how Lowry has carried himself here and immediately like started bossing guys around for not being in the places that they're supposed to be, both as a veteran, as a guy that has played for Nick Nurse for several years. I will see how I just don't want him to play so much that he's like gets to the playoffs and he's a shell of himself. Like,
yeah,
he's still,
I basically
he's still
mean
old.
By the end of the season and the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
I
yeah,
especially
I mean, I
because
think
Nurse knows him and he's competent and like if they don't wear him out, I think he could be a 30-minute a game guy in the playoffs.
Sure. Honestly. I mean, I guess if in a world where D'Anthony Melton is healthy and you feel fine with him playing as much as he needs to, I would rather Melton be in there. I think he has I think he's a better defensive player at this stage in his career. I think he has a quicker trigger from deep. And I probably trust him a little bit more from deep, although Lowry had what, 4 threes in the Orlando game? Yeah, it's 4 of 7, which is great. If Melton is out, then yeah, yes. Having another connector, I think they maybe like Batum off the bench. They're just trying shit. If it's Maxi Melton, or if it's Maxi Lowry, Heald, Tobias Embiid, then that is something. And you bring in Oubre and Batum off the bench, B-ball, hopefully Cuff. I mean, that's a lineup. That's a 10. It's so frustrating to have this many guys hurt and there's really nothing you can do except for complain about Tobias. That is what we can do.
We can
and
do
what we are doing and what we are good at doing.
So on
the thing that I was, well, this is an offseason question, but the thing if Melton's back issue is a longer term thing, like they think this is serious stuff, it's going to bother him the rest of his career. And also he wants a certain number in free agency and we don't know if we can give it to him with how much, whatever. Like they're going to have to decide between Melton, Batum, if he doesn't retire, Buddy, who's also expiring, you really want to see how Buddy and Embiid look together. And if it feels great, like as I expect it will, then you're probably going to want to try to find a number that works for everybody there. But there's a chance that they just go like, okay, we sent 2 second round picks for him. We can't give the amount of money that he wants for a guy that can't play defensively that well. How is Covington's knee holding up? Like, do you want to sign him? Like, but those guys, and I would include Lowry in that, and Oubre, I'm assuming Oubre is going to be gone and get a better deal somewhere else. But if Melton is gone, does Lowry give you some Melton insurance where you can go, okay, Lowry's going to spend the last year or two of his career here at like a 2 years, $16 million type of thing?
Yeah, the difference is that you kind of looked at Melton, or I kind of looked at Melton as incredibly reliable, mm-hmm. you know? And I just think at this point in Lowry's career, from a minutes perspective and a health perspective, you're sort of like betting. I wouldn't mind having Kyle Lowry on the team, but if I was really almost sure, you know, market, who knows what the market will be, but Melton felt like, okay, I want this guy on the Sixers for the next 4 years.
He is the perfect complement to Maxi. And you would like a little bit, and he can handle a little bit and you can move it a little bit, but Lowry does give you that headiness with the ball in his hands that allows Maxi to, you can run him through Iverson cuts and he can get the ball to Joel, all that stuff. It's intriguing, and it's really just it's going to come down to health for this season, and then whatever number everybody feels like they deserve. But it's interesting. Like, you're going to have Maxi and Embiid, maybe you have B-ball, but you could trade him this offseason, and everybody else is just like, the books are clear. So I think they're going to prioritize the third guy, whatever third guy that they get in free agency.
Sure.
And then try to go, okay, you guys, you like the six of you, Melton, Batum, Heald, maybe Oubre, Lowry, Covington, maybe Campaign. I doubt it. Probably not KJ Martin. Probably, hopefully not Mo Bamba. Everybody just like chill out. Wait, can you just wait a second while we like get this thing sorted out? And then once that is there, then they can, with bird rights, sign all of their own guys and not have to worry about it as much. But you can't sign them first and then go get a free agent.
Right.
Because you can go over tax limits to sign your own players, but not to sign somebody else in free agency.
The Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast brought to you by Mortgage CS, mortgagecs.com/Ricky, mortgagecs.com/Ricky, independent mortgage broker, only mortgage broker you need. Don't talk to anybody else. Here is a review from Adrian, who was a first-time home buyer. When my wife and I were looking to buy a home, we knew nothing about the mortgage industry and were grateful to have stumbled upon Mortgage CS. Ben and his whole team were uniformly generous with their time and effort, helping us to learn about the process, transparent about what they were doing, regularly communicating with us about timelines, always available to take our calls. We couldn't be happier choosing Mortgage CS, and we look forward to using them again. I did mention Ben. Ben is the CEO of Mortgage CS. You can reach out to him. This is his cell, 267-391-7425, 267-391-7425. They're an independent mortgage broker, meaning their only responsibility is you. Bigger mortgage brokers, the ones you Google, come up first. They have deals with banks. You don't really know about those deals. A lot of times they could lead you toward a specific loan with a specific bank that might benefit them, doesn't benefit you as much. That's not what Mortgage CS does. And the thing that Adrian said that is so true and so important, and having bought a home with a mortgage broker before I knew Mortgage CS, I can attest to you, this is not how everyone works. They regularly communicate. They're there when you need them. Most mortgage brokers, honestly, like, they take on too much. You don't get a lot of communication. It's spotty. You don't get clear answers. You just sort of have to cross your fingers. You're never going to have to cross your fingers with Mortgage CS. They're ready for you at any time. Ben, up at about 5:36 in the morning, you need a pre-qualification letter same day, reach out to Mortgage CS. You need advice weekend, night, reach out to Mortgage CS. I guarantee you're going to be happy. 267-391-7425 is Ben's cell. Anytime, reach out. Call or text or go to mortgagecs.com/Ricky. See the cool little microsite they have built for us and schedule a consultation. Read all the Google reviews, or you can just listen to the pod and I'll read them to you one at a time. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS 1464766. Visit mortgagecs.com/Ricky for more information.
I'm going to try to hold the microphone like this. I never did this.
Oh, yeah.
Just being annoyed, laying back.
Yeah. See how, can you go back even further? Or
I can go back further. Yeah, watch this.
Yeah.
Going back all the way.
Wow, that's a long cord.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Just want to do some, we got some good mailbag stuff. You want to do that?
Like, yeah, I'm putting my feet up.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
So the less mature mic was the in the dark mic. Mm-hmm. This is like the grown up, seen it all before, been there before sort of mic.
We have been there before. You yeah. do 11 years of this shit.
YouTuber mic. This is YouTuber
Here
mic.
Here we go. Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to slink down.
Also, I see when I'm watching like TikTok videos, I love TikTok, even though China's getting all my information or whatever. A lot of the singers on TikTok will use that mic and hold it that way. Have you noticed that, CJ? Do you watch TikTok videos? See, did as watched. I'm telling you, they'll do it that way. I love TikTok singing. I love the guys that eat in cars and give you the review. I love it. Anyway, this came from Bill, right? StrickySanchez@gmail.com. The basketball question. The subpar Sixers are lining themselves up for a redemption tour like none other should they win a title. The obvious Embiid dick thrust of destiny path to the finals is Bucks, Celtics, and Heat. But who would be more fitting for a championship? Would you rather beat the Nuggets or the Clippers? Also, which stages would be the most painful to lose? Let's not worry about that.
you name some painful ones.
Yeah.
They Nuggets did just lose Clippers. To the Grizzlies and Nets. So it's hard to kind of imagine them making the finals.
I would rather beat the Nuggets than the Clippers.
It would certainly feel
more valid.
More earned.
Yeah.
But it would also feel more personal if it was the Clippers.
Yeah. I would pick, I feel like it would feel realer. Like no one could, if they ever, trust me, if the Sixers ever win a championship, and rightly so, everyone will look to minimize it and make us feel like shit. It would be very hard to minimize beating the Nuggets. It would be very easy to minimize beating the Clippers. Not basketball.
It feels a little bit, it feels like we're like at a sleepover in seventh grade. Talking about like which celebrities we could get with. Like, I think I could get with them. I think we could beat the Nuggets in the NBA finals.
We just lost to the backup Grizzlies.
I think that.
Oh my God.
I think that Brad Pitt would be really into me. I think that if I was nice, if in the right environment, Jennifer Lopez would find me charming. That's what we're doing right now.
Non-basketball. Settle a debate that my wife and I have fought over more times than I think is reasonable. It has to do with the weekend and what constitutes this weekend versus next weekend. For example, if it's Monday and I ask if we have any plans next weekend, I mean the one that is 5 days away. Conversely, my wife thinks that I'm referencing the weekend 12 days away, which I think is absurd. In her mind, next weekend is always the weekend after next, no matter when you're asking. If I were asking on, say, Thursday or Friday, though, I would think next weekend is the one 7 or 8 days away at that point, and this weekend is a day or two away. So when does next become this, or is my wife right and it doesn't change? I actually have a real opinion on this. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I would say I believe, like, there's some point Sunday when it goes from this weekend to next weekend.
But by Monday,
this weekend is the coming weekend, and next weekend is the following weekend. Yeah.
We're on the same page.
There's a...
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
How can they mean the same thing? Well, it doesn't make any sense.
Here's the thing, Bill. This weekend can only mean one thing, whereas in your world, next weekend can mean two things. It's much easier if you just... First of all, if you just listen to your wife, she's right. But the second thing is that never will you be confused if this weekend just means this weekend. So I think she's always right. And then what do you call next weekend if it's... What do you call the weekend after next if it's Monday? Do you say two weekends sometimes from now, I'll like
throw
an asshole?
Sometimes I'll throw this coming weekend.
Ah, there you go.
To really make it clear.
Sexy.
Yeah.
833-LICKFACE is the phone number. We got this one.
It's like, hey, Mike, watching the Sixers-Nets game right now. Notice that the Nets have some similar music going on inside of the Barclays Center. Like, you know, the song at Wells Fargo Center in the middle of just bringing the ball up to court. We making love. Like, that song has always felt very strange to me. You know, like, we're making love. A bunch of dudes on the basketball court trying to get the ball into the hole. Like, it never... I just never really figured that one out. Basketball question. What do you think is prettier looking? Campaign's jump shot or Markel Fultz's thoracic syndrome foul shot? If you had to choose between one or the other, which one would you pick?
There is something...
Thanks.
There is something pleasing. Oh, he's still talking?
No.
There's something pleasing to me about Campaign's
weird
three-point shot.
Slingshot.
It's like the way he sets his feet to be so firmly in the other direction is when, you know how on like a computer desktop, you can have it set to like snap to grid? Do you know what I'm talking about? When you have like icons on a computer desktop.
Yep.
And you can drag something and you can... There's one version where you can just put it wherever you want, and there's one where it becomes a grid and you snap to grid. CJ, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't know.
CJ's nodding.
Okay.
And it's as if his jump shot, when his legs are like so far in the wrong direction, like he has pressed a snap to grid and it's just like, here I am. This is what this... it goes right here. Because if you drag it in a certain way and it's like snaps it to a right way. The listeners of this podcast know what I'm talking about.
I'm not... I just don't. That's okay. He is the most left-handed looking jump shot I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, I would agree with that.
I've ever seen.
I agree with that.
As for the song, I never knew that they were saying we're making love.
I don't know. I don't know the song.
Oh, da, 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 da. If you're in the chat, you know what that song is, and it's...
Are you sure it's not We Make It Clap?
I have no idea. He thinks it's We're Making Love.
It's hard to hear his version of the song and then hear you. We're not actually hearing the song to know what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's Make It Clap, because that was a song from like what, 15, 20 years ago.
But it's better if it's Making Love.
It makes much more sense if it's We Make It Clap and followed by claps.
Yes.
Then we're making love. it would followed just be like, by claps. When I make love, clapping, unless people are watching and saying how good of a job I'm doing, nobody is clapping.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's, we'll make it clap.
This came from Dan. Writes RickySanchez at gmail.com. Dear Spike, Mike, and CJ, I had a whirlwind weekend that involved an important Ricky relevant subject that I felt compelled to share. JJ Redick's apartment.
Whoa.
Last Friday night, a close friend of mine hosted a group of our college buddies at his apartment in Brooklyn. My friend moved there from LA after his wife received a kick-ass, big-time marketing job in Manhattan, so I assumed it would be a nice place. What I did not assume is they would be renting a penthouse apartment from JJ Redick.
Wow.
I'd give you my own original take on what it was like, but why do that when the hoity-toity wordsmiths of Architectural Digest have already done the work for me? Here is a link to 80s write-up of the European-inspired family oasis in Dumbo. As I tinkled in JJ's jungle motif powder room, see tasteful snapshot below, I thought to myself, man, I'm as close as I'm ever going to be I'm as close as I'm ever going to get to playing swords with the greatest fan educator and hot take artist of all time.
I mean, not that close.
After I finished spraying After I finished spraying the jungle walls with urine, I headed to the master bedroom. I had to see the trundle bed where Tommy Alter masturbates. I didn't find it, but I know it's there somewhere. Your humble narrator and grateful listener, Dan. P.S. I did not actually urinate on JJ's bathroom walls. I just wanted to increase the likelihood that Spike would select my email. Love the pod, fellas.
That's fair. Good note. So wait, that was the, like, JJ owns the property and rents it out?
I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
It feels like if you went to a game where JJ was like calling it for ESPN, that would be closer to swords than just peeing where bathroom. He pees.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's closer than I've ever been or you've ever been.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
833 Lickface is the phone number.
I went to a Sixers Clippers game during the deep process when the Sixers lost by 75 in LA.
Yep.
And JJ was there.
Yep.
So that, I think, he probably peed at the arena that night. So did I, probably.
But not the same, not his bathroom.
But our streams were closer to each other than the streams of this man.
Hmm.
Maybe like he could have done swords with like his goat, like an echo of a stream later on from the past. But I don't know. I think proximity is better, is like actual proximity.
Yeah. Oh, like actually being in the same building rather than, yeah.
Cause you could meet him at a public bathroom in like a trough.
What if,
and then you could actually do swords.
What if in the bathroom there was a picture of his wiener?
Tasteful.
The Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Big Barker Dog Beds. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. The only dog bed on the market engineered by experts to keep your dog healthier by supporting your dog's joints. There's some fun Ricky stuff coming with Big Barker very soon, by the way. Very, very soon. I had mentioned last time that the foster dog we had at the house, Kirby, was enjoying our extra Big Barker while Rebel enjoyed his. We have yet another foster dog as Kirby was adopted. We have Banshee, who has been here for 2 or 3 days. She was terrified of everything, would hide under the desk at the shelter when they would bring her in an office. She's having a good time. She sleeps on Rebel's extra Big Barker. We gave it to her. She slept on it immediately. Immediately. Dogs love the Big Barker. Rebel loves his Big Barker. And as I told you before, proven by a study by Penn Vet to keep your dog healthier by supporting your dog's joints, a real bed. You think about if you were sleeping on a shitty bed all the time. You feel like shit. Be terrible. You don't want that. You want a good bed.
Yeah.
You have a good one. Your dog should have a good one. It's your only job as a dog owner. Give your dog a healthy, happy life.
Definitely not your only job. Got to feed him also.
Feed him. Feed him too. Yes. Well, to give the dog a happy, healthy life.
Oh, yeah.
Is including feeding.
Yeah. Right. And I just got to check you when you don't say it. That's my role here.
If you go to bigbarker.com/Ricky, I love sitting back in the chair, Mike.
I can't believe I've never done this before. Yeah, I thought about it afterwards. I was like, maybe I can move the mic. And I can. And I am.
You could zoom the camera, get you closer. Or do you want us to have the wide shot?
I like the wide.
Yeah, with the plant.
I'd have to sit up if I was in the camera, and I don't know if I would get this comfortable again.
So if you go to bigbarker.com/Ricky, not only do you get the Big Barker dog bed, which comes in a bunch of different colors, comes in different orientations. You can get the headrest, not get the headrest, bunch of different sizes. Excellent quality. You also get two process patches. You can iron them on the bed if you want, whatever the hell you want to do with it. A 10-year warranty. The foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, if your dog doesn't like it, not only will they give you a full refund, they will pay for the shipping. Handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds. 833-LICK-FACE.
I just want to say that I'm very pro, like, Hubie Brown take. He is the national broadcaster of the process, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? For some reason, the national media is very conspired against 60 Cents. Our options are, at least at the beginning of the season, Doc, who thankfully has been removed by his own conspiracies. And then we have JJ, whom I can't stand. And then we have Stan Van Gundy on TNT, who can't stand indeed. Sometimes the best case is someone who's kind of asleep the whole time. If at least he doesn't say anything, that pisses me off. I truly turned to my wife when the Dallas game started and said, thank God it's Hubie Brown. Even if it's past 1 p.m., even if it's at 4 p.m. during the early bird specials, I'll take Hubie Brown every time.
Mike, your thoughts?
I can't. Sometimes a guy will start dribbling. He'll just go, whoa.
He sounds quieter. So I've determined I was neutral on Hubie Brown, but because you want him to quit so much, now I like him. It's just pushed me the other way. But I this year, that. He sounds older and quieter this year.
He's so old, dude. Just let him watch basketball. He can still come to the games. He can talk to his friend. Uh-huh. But like the amount of flying around that you have to do at that job.
You're just thinking of him.
I am. He's not up for it. He gets too sleepy. Let him call one game a year, like on Christmas or something, a daytime game, and then let him go to bed. Interact with his... You should know your grandkids' names and your grandnieces and nephews and stop trying to learn the names of so many Detroit Pistons.
We're playing swords.
You're old. Shouldn't have to.
We're playing swords. This came from Joe.
We're making love. It can't be what he actually hears.
I think he was genuine. He was not bullshitting. That's what he thinks he hears.
Just somebody like turning to other people in the section, being like, "Are they saying we're making love? Are we supposed to?"
This came from Joe, writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. I'm just emailing to say that the Josh Harris Joe Buck handshake should at least be immortalized in CJ's intro video, unless you can find of a better way to remember it. On a regular basis.
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
What do you want to cut, CJ? What do you think? Problem is you got to cut something.
Yeah, every time I add something, I go through the same process of just removing something before.
Is Harden like hitting a shot still in there?
I don't think so. I think it's Maxey hitting a shot.
Because there used to be where he hits a shot and he screams.
Yeah, the only Harden mention now is him calling Daryl a liar.
That's good.
I think.
We're making love. We're making love. Okay. This came from Kathleen, writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. I have nothing basketball related to say, but I'm sitting here drinking my statesides, watching Queer Eye, and I would like to know if Mike and Antoni are related because they are the same person to me. Thank you.
It's Antoni.
Antoni. I've never seen the show. Sorry.
I watched a bunch of the earlier seasons, but it does feel like they've done so many and I've kind of lost track. Anthony's great.
I look like you.
He's a dumb hunk.
Okay.
I take it as a compliment.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And he's good at cooking. He's the cooking guy and he just gets very excited by anything.
He's a cooking guy, but isn't Queer Eye when you change what?
No, there's, well,
wears?
They have a different, the new version and it's not that new. It's been around for 7 or so years. Okay. Everyone has a different skill set. And so someone is fashion, someone is like hair and face, someone is like a makeover your house, someone, and then Antoni is food, diet, nutrition, And then Karamo is something that you're dealing with on a personal level, like therapeutic type of thing.
833 Lickface.
Brian from Maryland. You know, Mo Bamba is one of the worst players, maybe the worst in the league at this point. He's got hands like feet. He can't do anything. I would gladly welcome the Trez train back for Mo Bamba. Mike, would you welcome the Trez train back for Mo Bamba?
No. Mike, Trez train?
Absolutely not. I do like the... What's Mo Bamba shooting from three? CJ, can you look it up? Well, I'm too reclined.
It feels like 43%.
I bet it's like 37 or 38.
Yeah, it does. Like,
the fact
like
that he's capable
them.
Of doing that is relatively nice. The fact that he catches some lobs, he had a nice lob from Lowry. What do we got, Siege? Oh, I thought you were about to pop in.
42%.
42. So that's fine. And I do really like the blocks at the rim when he occasionally does it. But it is so many. He gets so easily boxed out by anybody. John Conchar, who is a player I like, boxed him out so easily tonight. Just puts him in jail. Like they like fold him up and put him in their back pocket. He just does. He's so the opposite of relentless, relentful. He's filled with relent in how easy he is to get boxed out and get nothing out of it. But Trez is worse. He's so much worse.
We're making love. This came from Paul, writes to RickySanchez@gmail.com. Thought it was important for both writes to Ricky Sanchez and the Carl Andrew Record Club to know that our guy Cove is referenced in the Babytron song Billy Madison at around 45 seconds into the song. Not exactly a glowing reference, quote, "You a role player at best, Robert Covington. All press is good press." Oh, we have the clip. Can you play it?
"You a role player at the best, Robert Covington. Double R."
Wow.
I love role players, and I think this is a positive development.
A role player at best is kind of shitty, though.
That just sounds like somebody that doesn't know how to build a good basketball team.
Yeah, build a championship. That guy's not the that guy.
Whoever he's talking to in that song, which I don't know.
Yeah,
I would tell that person that good for you for being a role player.
Babytron,
we need those.
Babytron doesn't know anything, so. I feel like I'd end it on this email that I think is going to make you mad. So this came from Itamar.
I'm going to get lowered if I'm going to get mad. Really want to get.
Writes to RickySanchez@gmail.com. "I'm a longtime Coach Mike supporter. I'm not an expert, but listening to Mike's rants about help defense makes me wonder, does he know about the concept of shell defense? Could it be the explanation he's looking for? I forgot to say that I even have a Coach Mike shirt. That's why I said I'm a Coach Mike supporter." So, Mike, are you just incorrectly identifying the defense that they're playing? Is this shell defense?
It could be. It certainly is sometimes. I wouldn't say I'm good at talking about defense on that level, okay. So I won't try. But I think you just have to have a philosophy of defense that doesn't result in wide open 3-point shots off the catch from NBA players.
Yeah, that seems
like
good.
That's ultimately what it boils down to.
Yep. Well, they suck pretty bad right now. We don't know when Maxey's coming back. The Sixers play again on Friday night. They play the New Orleans Pelicans, who are surprisingly 12 games over 500 or something. Like I didn't even know they were.
They're really good. Guy Zion. It's a good stretch. I won't say good full year, but he's playing games. He's healthy. He's playing pretty much point guard, barreling into people. If they lost to the Nets and the Grizzlies, this will not be a pretty development. The Pelicans also just beat somebody by like 45.
Then two games against the Knicks on Sunday and Tuesday, and then the Bucks.
Yeah.
We're playing pretty well. So
I mean,
Knicks are not playing well. So
fact of the matter is,
yep,
they're not going to get lower than 8. So odds are they're going to have.
So we don't even have to watch.
Indiana or Orlando, maybe Miami. Maybe the Knicks in the play-in, whether it's home or on the road. And then if they lose that, they'll have a home game against either Chicago, probably Chicago, maybe Toronto, maybe Atlanta. And for the right to get to go play Boston in the first round.
Sick. Just like we planned it.
Yeah.
just like we set it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
But well, it's March, baby.
Everyone,
my month.
Keep making love. We will talk to you next time. Are you down with why would it be we're making love? Okay, anyway, we'll talk to you next time. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You know Lickface.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for Plan B.